Welcome to the WWE Podcast, your place for the most passionate wrestling analysis on the web.
Just turn Roman heel. What is WWE waiting for?
When other wrestling podcasts put you to sleep, you can count on the WWE Podcast to keep you engaged and asking for more.
I've been watching wrestling for over 20 years, and that was one of the best matches I've ever seen.
This is unlike any other wrestling analysis. So without any further delay, let's get the show started right now.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the WWE Podcast on this special bonus episode on Friday, November 1st, 2019. I wasn't going to post anything today, but surprise, I decided to dig into the archives and share something with you that I'm not sure all of you have heard. My interview with Scott Stanford, WWE's own Scott Stanford. So I'm going to try to do more of these interviews. I don't think I really have enough interviews with actual talent and wrestlers that I'm going to start pursuing. So I wanted to dig this out of the vault as inspiration for myself and to share with you if you've not already heard it. So it's a good interview. I didn't have a ton of time with him, but I appreciate the time that he did give me to talk to him about, you know, what he does, how he got there. Obviously this is, much earlier this year. So the topics we talk about as quote current content is a little bit dated, but I think overall you'll enjoy the interview. And, before I do, guys, thank you so much again, for joining me on this bonus episode. I will be back tomorrow with a full review of Crown Jewel and Friday Night SmackDown with co-host Ashley. So it's going to be a big show tomorrow night. I did see Crown Jewel without giving too much away. It's Crown Jewel. I will say I didn't hate the show. I will say that. And I'm not going to bury the lead and give you all of my detailed thoughts. But I will just say this. The Fiend being WWE champion, or excuse me, Universal champion, I think it's the only move WWE could have done. But did they do it for the purpose of damage control to the character rather than it actually having it be time and the right time to crown the Fiend champion? So is it too little too late? That remains to be seen. You know, there's a lot of follow-up that needs to happen with this. I will say I didn't hate their match as much as Hell in a Cell. There's not that crazy backlash that there was, and you know, I'm still not a fan of the red light always having to be on during his matches. It still is it's a little much for me. It's hard to watch even at home. And maybe it doesn't bother some of you guys, but to me it's extremely distracting, particularly because of the match length for The Fiend should be anywhere near the length that they've given him the last couple of times. And I just think that it's detrimental to the character when you have him out there exposed for such a long period of time, and it really eats away at the plausibility of The Fiend kicking out of finishers and, you know, taking actual sledgehammer shots to the face and just kind of standing there stumbling a little. To me, less is more with The Fiend, and I think WWE is going to learn that the really, really hard way. I think that they're going to learn that the hard way when The Fiend starts to get lackluster crowd reactions and it doesn't get the pop that he used to. And it's not the shiny new toy anymore. But I just think that, you know, beyond Bray, Seth Rollins here has been so, I cannot emphasize that enough, damaged. And not just from this particular program. Again, I will say it again and again. This should not have been a program that was even a thing until 2020. I believe that. I said that before the even disaster of Hell in a Cell. I said that before because you're putting guys in a place that they don't gel or oil and water at this point. And Seth Rollins, this to me, while it didn't cause the downslide of Seth Rollins and the fan support of Seth Rollins, it didn't help at all that he was basically playing the heel in this whole thing, because the heel here was cast as The Fiend, but The Fiend is such an intriguing character and the most interesting character WWE has had in many years, thanks to Bray Wyatt. And when you have that interesting character, and then there's kind of that just, you know, elder statesman of Seth Rollins, and hey, he's a good guy, but he kind of feels a little bit stale, and he's just there, and his whole feud with Becky was a big flop. They did not have good on-screen chemistry. That was weird. You know, he left the Authority. Don't forget, when the whole thing, when he turned babyface, he left the Authority because the Authority left him, not because he wanted to leave the Authority, if you remember that. And when he returned at Extreme Rules 4 years ago, and they turned him heel, another big missed opportunity. So there's a string of reasons why Seth Rollins' fan support is declining and declining quickly. And The Fiend, to me, was just the straw that broke the camel's back. It's the thing that just pushed it over the edge for the fans to say, look, Seth Rollins is a little bit too clean cut of a babyface for me. His voice is naturally annoying. I mean, that's just the way it is. The Fiend, Seth Rollins' voice is. It's just like, it's nails on a chalkboard. And it suits him well as a heel. And I think he's better as a heel. I've said that since he turned. And I just think that it could be beneficial to him to go back to a heel. I really do. Because to get people to truly boo the Fiend is going to be a tough task. Even when he faces The Undertaker, which is inevitable, I really don't think that the Fiend will get a true heel reaction. It'll just be kind of, oh my God, this is happening. It won't be, ooh, boo, we want to see the Fiend beat up. Again, it's too tall of a task for that to happen. If WWE believes that the Fiend can truly be a heel character, well, as currently constituted, that can happen. The way that he's presented, just how brilliant he is, and a lot of how good he is as this character and how all in he is working against WWE trying to cast him as a heel because he's so damn good. But there's still, again, there's damage control to do here in a big way. And I think they took a step in the right direction making him Universal Champion because really that's the only thing you can do. Again, I wouldn't have had this program happen to begin with. But now that it did and you have through the absolute you-know-what show of Hell in a Cell, the only thing you can do is put the belt on the Fiend. That's it. That's the only option that you have. So those are just my quick thoughts on the Fiend becoming champion. Of course, I'll dig in much, much more to this. The Tyson Fury, Braun Strowman match, Cain Velasquez tapping out to Brock Lesnar fairly quickly. The historic women's match between Natalya and Lacey Evans that was very mixed as far as I feel about it. Not because I don't believe women should wrestle in Saudi Arabia. No. I think that they should, and I'm happy for them, and I even teared up a little bit when they were hugging each other. That's true, real emotion there. That's not at all what I'm saying. I'm really happy for them. It's well deserved, long overdue. I mean, my God, it's 2019, and we're talking about Saudi Arabia still in the dark ages here. But I was happy for the women, happy for WWE, who finally got their amazing press statements, and oh my God, the world has been set on fire that Saudi Arabia is allowing two women to compete, albeit in basically, robes to make sure that they don't expose an inch of skin. I'm sure that if they had their way, they would have been wearing, those hoods. Again, I don't know the terminology. There's like a name for the attire that a Saudi Arabia people wear. Forgive me for my ignorance on what that is. I don't know the name of it. It's escaping me. But I'm surprised that they even allowed them to show as much as they did. But clearly the government said, yeah, you can do that. Just, cover them from head to toe. I mean, so it was a little weird seeing them, but I'm happy for the women. I have a little bit of hang up on it's about this happening. It's not about winning the match. And I understand this is a big deal, but It just threw all of their characters out the window, completely trashed Lacey Evans and her character for the sake of, hey, this is a friendly matchup. This is, no, I don't really care if I win or not. I'm a professional athlete, but I don't care. This is about being here. That's all. Just about being here and making history. That's just the part that the problem is it should not have completely absorbed the match, and it did, because you didn't care who won, and maybe that's the point. Maybe that's the point, and I'm digging into this a little much. Hey, I had somebody yell at me on Apple Podcasts because, oh, I shouldn't be talking about a race, because I'm privileged. Oh, boy. I mean, that could go real south real quick on this show. I mean, the only thing I'll say to that is, hey, How am I privileged? Oh, because there's the whole white privilege thing, right? What exactly am I privileged of? Like, what am I getting that you're not? I'm assuming you're not white, right? But hey, if this could quickly turn south, like I said, and maybe I'll do like kind of a sideshow on non-wrestling stuff, because there's so much like I hold in that I love wrestling and it's one of my passions in life, and fitness is too, you know, among other things. But you know, sometimes there's just a side rant that I want to go on that has nothing to do with wrestling. And it's a dangerous thing to bring up on this show, which is why I'm reserving my comments. So let me know what you guys think. You know, let me know what you guys think in this extremely sensitive identity politics. Everybody's offended on behalf of somebody else. Nonsensical, radical left crap. So how about that? There's my quick political rant in about a sentence. But I don't know. Let me go know what you guys think. I mean, it wouldn't be just about politics. But if you guys want to hear my opinions on other things in life, stories, a little bit of politics. It's not going to be a political, you know, heavy show, but let me know what you guys think. Are you interested in that? Because, like I said, sometimes it's really, really difficult for me to keep things in. Then I have to keep this on a wrestling-focused show, because that's exactly what this is. So, all right, guys. Well, we're going to get to the Scott Stanford interview in just a minute. But before we do, I just want to invite you to check out followcn.com. It's about China, its people, history, and culture, as well as their values, concerns, difficulties, dreams, and hopes, and how the world sees and thinks about it. It's really, honestly, it's fascinating. I took a look, and there's sections on culture, women, people, health. It's really, really, honestly insightful if you don't know a whole lot about China itself and how the world views them and the stories going on. It really is worth a look. It's www.followcn, that's C as in cat, N as in Nancy, .com. That's followcn.com, and it has a focus on U.S.-China relations as well. I know most of my listeners are in the United States, so I would really recommend that you guys check out followcn.com. Alrighty, well, why don't we just get right to Scott Stanford? Again, tomorrow night, I will be back with Ashley as we have a boatload of content to cover with Crown Jewel and, of course, SmackDown, Friday Night SmackDown, that may not have as many wrestlers as normal with a ton of flight delays and issues that happened in Saudi Arabia. So it'll probably be a bare-bones show, or maybe some surprises as WWE marketed. But either way, it'll be a blast to talk with Ashley. Really looking forward to speaking with her as I do every few weeks. So, guys, thanks so much for joining me, and enjoy the interview with Scott. And as always, I'll talk to you next time. Okay, guys, welcome back. And right now, I have a very special guest. His name is Scott Stanford, and he is currently with WWE. He's also a sports anchor. I know that he is with Pix11 News. So without further ado, Scott, welcome to the show.
Yes, there were times I'm sure you knew. You didn't mention Singer, Matt. You forgot to mention Singer.
I forgot the Singer. How are you, buddy? Good. I'm doing great. Oh, man. I was
YouTubing. Wait, did you mention seven-time Emmy winner? I don't know if I heard that in the introduction.
Well, the introduction, I didn't want to take too long. I mean, you're a man that does not need an introduction, but I decided to give one to you. So,
yes.
So Scott, just so everyone knows who you are, they may or may not, just let everyone know what you do. I know you're involved with WWE. You're on Pix11. You do some of the pregames for the Yankees. But let everyone know what you do.
Well, as for, you know, for this purpose, I've been with WWE. I just re-signed now for my 10th year at WWE, which is kind of funny because I read online how I was let go a couple of months ago. But that didn't turn out to be true. I read that myself, and I had to call in and say, hey, did I miss something today? And they said, no, we love you, man. You're coming back again. So I basically do all of the studio shows in Stamford, Connecticut, out of WWE headquarters, including this week in WWE with the lovely and talented Charlie Caruso, and all the shows you didn't think still existed, like Bottom Line and Afterburn and WWE Experience. Those shows still air in about 37 countries. So we bang those out on Tuesdays and Wednesdays during the week once the Monday and Tuesday shows have finished. And it's all just, you know, the recap shows air in all those countries. And now, you know, unfortunately, due to the passing of Mean Gene, I say unfortunately on his passing, not unfortunately that I've taken over, because he was always one of my idols growing up. Now I go in once a month on Fridays. Charlie and I bang out a bunch of episodes of WWE Vintage, which also airs around the world. So, you know, Mean Gene growing up, it was always one of my idols, always wanted to be Mean Gene. Walked around my house going, all right, Hulk Hogan, come on in. Yeah, so it's just, you know, they keep you busy. Used to do the pre-shows for the pay-per-views, used to do the Monday Night Raw pre-shows with Corey and Booker T and Otunga. We used to do Monday and Tuesday nights, and just a lot of fun. And you mix that in with sports casting every night of the week and trying to take care of my two daughters. I got a nice busy life going.
I guess so. It sounds like you're living your dream in some respects. I mean, really, yeah. It's
well, listen, Matt. My dream was always to be Bob Barker. So I haven't become a game show host yet. I was always a fan of Bob Barker on The Price is Right because he got to hang out with three beautiful women all day. The names I can't remember because I was too young at the time. But I always wanted to be a game show host. So I'm working on that next.
Yeah, no. Well, you've laid the foundation, right? You'll have to talk to Drew Carey. But listen, no, thanks again for coming on. And you mentioned quickly on Mean Gene, and I'll touch on him just for a moment. I think he meant so many different things to so many different people in the business. He is one of the few guys, and I was listening to Jim Ross's podcast as well. He mentioned that nobody in his 40 years of being in the world of wrestling, has he ever heard anyone say a bad thing about Mean Gene? Can you mirror that?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I knew Mean Gene only because, you know, I used to see him in passing. We became friendly. We would text once in a while. If somebody would pass away, I remember when Roddy Piper passed away for Pix 11, I called Gene to get his thoughts on it for my broadcast that night. But the fun thing was, every time I would see Mean Gene, I would impersonate him to him, and he would go right back at me. You know, I'd say, all right, Mean Gene, come on in this Monday night at the Garden. And he'd say, all right, Scotty boy. And we would talk like Mean Gene for, you know, 10, 15 minutes to each other. But he was one of the nicest guys I had ever met. And the one thing I always say when he passed away, the one thing I said that I think everybody would agree, when he said your name in an interview or an announcement, you were big time, and it sounded big time. You know what I mean? And he just not a bad bone in that man's body. And when you needed him to do a favor, he was there for you. So you know, nothing I could say about Mean Gene other than he will be missed dearly. And that guy was literally, I know people say he was the voice of my childhood, or that one was the voice of my childhood. Mean Gene Okerlund was certainly the voice of our childhoods, if you were a WWE fan back in those days.
He had just the pipes that you every announcer dreams
of.
Like,
amazing.
Like you just said, he could make anything sound important, mm-hmm. anything. I mean, he could narrate anything, and it would sound big time, as you just said. And
yeah.
The tribute, I think, that Hulk Hogan did on Monday Night Raw a few weeks back was probably the best that I could have imagined it going, with Hulk Hogan returning. And he made it about Mean Gene, which yep. it should have been, which I yeah. loved. The fans were with him. I think everyone was clamoring to see him saying, well, you know something, Mean Gene.
Yeah. And, oh, you and know Mean Gene, brother.
Yeah, I loved it. Loved it.
And it's funny. Everybody always thought that Hulk Hogan gave him the name Mean Gene, but it was really oh, boy, I just forgot his name. He's going to kill me. Jesse the Body Ventura.
Jesse, yes.
It was Jesse who gave him the name Mean Gene and not Hulk Hogan. And even I thought that was the case until I found out it wasn't. But good job by, you know, Jesse the Body on the Mean Gene. I love it.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, outside of WWE, I know you do Pix 11 and you do some of the pre-games for the Yankees. And I just did a little bit of a YouTube search on some of your content before we got started. And I saw this one segment that you did on the news, and it was, I believe it was called Gmail. And you read some of the people's tweets on the air that were some favorable and not so favorable, which I absolutely loved. I got to say, I mean, I don't know if you're still doing that segment, but that is – I love any time there's self-deprecating humor and you just own what people say. And you know, you don't always have to bring on the things that people are praising. You brought on some of the things that people were saying on social media. I loved it.
You know what? Isn't it boring to hear people praise you? You know, it's so much more fun and more comedic when you read the stuff, you know, with the sad music underneath. You know, Scott Stanford really stinks. He shouldn't. He set sports casting back 20 years. I loved it. And Mr. G is always my foil. He's been the weather guy here in New York for 100 years. And there's a picture of him holding the mail, and it's the G mail bag, and it all just works together. Listen, the funny thing is, you know, really, I get so much positive feedback. And I love it. People are so nice, and I try to respond to everybody. If you're going to take the time to tell me how much you enjoy what I'm doing, and, you know, at the end of a really crappy newscast for 57 minutes, and I come on and I can at least make you laugh before you, you know, turn on Seinfeld or you watch Jimmy Fallon or whatever it is, and you want to take 2 minutes to write that to me, I'm so appreciative. But really, the, you know, every one out of 20 will be a, like you say, you know, just a disparaging remark. They can't stand my corny jokes, my humor, which, by the way, the corny jokes are on purpose, people, just for so you know. You know, I love reading the, because that's what gets the, you know, my job is to get the anchors involved and to get them laughing and get them responding. And when people write, you know, how I'm the worst sports anchor and I shouldn't be on the news, how is this guy on TV? That stuff that used to bother, boy, when you're younger, that bothers you. But as you get into it and you get older, I post them all over the place on Instagram, on Facebook, and I just love the responses that come in. It just cracks me up. So yeah, no, that's the Pix11 Gmail bag is it's great. I love it.
I did too. I popped for that one. I loved it. And I thought that, you know, anytime, like I said, you can own that, that makes it that much better. And those people that are giving you disparaging remarks, you have to remember they're still watching, right?
Like, oh, so, of course,
you know,
yeah.
It's like you're the heel on TV, right? So like they're watching, they love to hate you, but they're still watching, which is what the most important point.
Listen,
is,
if you're,
so,
if you're turning on Pix11 to see me give you the scores that you could have caught about 2-3 hours ago, you know, you've come to the wrong place, and there's five other stations in New York that you can go to get your highlights and your scores. And, you know, I like to run stuff, you know, the fun videos offline and just anything we can find that really has nothing to do with, you know, the local Ranger games or the Yankee games. You know, we give you the highlights, but it's always more fun. The people who watch us are not sports fans. They just happen to stick around past the weather.
Yes.
You know what I mean? They're not waiting for me to come on and give them scores. They already know the scores. But when people come up to me in a supermarket or a mall, and it's a wife and a husband, and the guy says, you know what, my wife doesn't even like sports, but you make her laugh every night. That's what I'm trying to do. And that's, you know I've done my job when people tell me that. Not, hey, man, you that was a great highlight of, you know, Manny Machado's home run in the World Series. No, you can get that anywhere.
Yes, exactly. Entertainment value. And that's what you add.
And I don't take anything seriously. Nothing. Nothing we do is serious. We're not curing any diseases. We go on the air. We're off at 11 o'clock. We haven't changed anybody's life in the slightest bit. And it is what it is. And you move along. I go home and I go to sleep.
Exactly. And like you said, as you've gotten older, you've developed a thick skin to not even be concerned about the people who are on social media just wasting their time trying to troll you. And it's great. And you're laughing it off right now. That's
absolutely
what I love.
Love it. That's great.
So what are some of your favorite moments, whether it's WWE related or your news anchor, your sports anchor career? Which one do you think has provided more memories for you?
Well,
your best one.
I'll tell you what. You know, when I got into the WWE, and it's a long story how I got there through, which I don't even want to bore you with that. But when I got into WWE, you know, I started out by doing studio shows, and then I got the call one day. You know, after about a year of doing studio shows, I got a call on a Saturday night. Hey, can you get to Wichita, Kansas on Monday? You know, we'll get you there. Do you have time to go? I said, sure. What am I doing? That's where Monday Night Raw was, and this was it had to be about 2010. So I got on a plane, went to Wichita, Kansas. Who goes to Wichita, Kansas? Not many people. And basically, I showed up to Raw, and it was about 3 o'clock, and I still had no idea what I was doing. And I called my boss back in Connecticut, and he said, yeah, don't worry about it. Just get your tie on. And he called me at about 6 o'clock and said, put your suit on. You're calling WWE Superstars with Jerry the King Lawler. And I said, oh, you gave me plenty of notice because they shot that at 7:30 before the 8 o'clock Raw went on the air. They always shot Superstars before Raw. So I went out there and I just, you know, I was no notes, nothing. I was winging it. And before you know it, that's what I was doing for the next 2 years. And I partnered up with CM Punk a couple of weeks, which was great. I know a lot of people love when we were partnered up together, because he would just, you know, rip me the whole time, and we'd go back and forth. And then I was with Josh Matthews and Matt Stryker. And I mean, it was just a terrific time. But I think the best, one of my best days ever in WWE was WrestleMania 29. I want to say, was that, was the one at MetLife, the last one at MetLife, I think.
Yep.
When I hosted we did the first WWE pay-per-view pre-show, for that WrestleMania. And the panel was myself, JR, Kofi Kingston, and Dusty Rhodes in a stadium with 75,000 people. And it was just the energy in that building was phenomenal. I mean, when you're doing a pre-show and they're all chanting for Dusty and JR, it was just fantastic. And that was the first pay-per-view pre-show that we actually did. I think it aired on like YouTube and Facebook and things like that.
It was electric. That was one of my favorite WrestleManias in the last 10 years was WrestleMania 29. And, you know, listening to you, and I do remember watching that pre-show. So that's funny you mentioned it. And I do remember watching you with CM Punk and some of the comments he would make to you and the faces he would give you. I mean, now you're making me want to go back, and that, I may do that after our call. I mean, some of it was just classic stuff.
There's on YouTube, there's I think somebody put together a montage. If you YouTube CM Punk wrestling calls, and it's just he and I, and
he's just, okay, I did not see that, so
everything I say he rips me and he tells me, you know, it's a good thing you're a good comedian because you suck as an announcer.
I did see that, yeah,
all that good stuff. So he was injured at the time, so I think we did 2 or 3 weeks together, and he was just so miserable doing it, you know. That was the last place but he was actually very good.
He could have been, if he wanted to, stayed a commentator, and I think done very well. But he was such a multi-talented guy. But you looked at him, and the comments he was making, and I'll have to look at the compilation after this call. I'm telling you, I'm doing that after this call. But he seemed genuinely miserable. So if you're telling me he was actually miserable, that came across very well, which made TV even better.
It was actually very funny. And you know, another thing I used to have fun with is on the Monday Night Raw pre-show, we had a little thing going where I would always introduce the guys with some funny introductions, and I would always introduce Book, and almost on an insulting basis, and he would look at me with his, oh, you did not just say that. And people online just started running with it, that Booker wanted to kill Stanford, and Corey had to hold them back. And it was, you know, all right, Book, listen, tonight I'm going to say this, you're going to do this, and we're going to get, everybody's going to think that you're ready to kill me. And it was just so much fun how, you know, you do it, you get the response online, and people just go nuts with it. And they think they don't know what's real, what's not real. And it's just very funny.
It was great. And on that same front about what's real and what's not, one last thing I want to touch on with you is the Becky Lynch and Ronda Rousey. I mean, this main event of WrestleMania,
yeah.
I think not only is it the women who are main eventing WrestleMania for the first time ever, which is awesome and historic, but the fans have now turned on Rousey. And I don't think WWE is foolish enough to believe that at WrestleMania, Ronda Rousey is going to be perceived as the babyface. I don't see how they believe that's going to happen. So what are your thoughts just in general about this match? Like, how historic is this? Is this something that internally people are buzzing about? How do you view this match? For the first time ever, the women are main eventing WrestleMania.
Well, Matt, are you looking past Elimination Chamber with Ronda and Ruby? Are you really? Not giving Ruby any chance at Ronda at Elimination Chamber in Houston?
Listen, I feel that there is There are not too many times I feel like something is a lock and I would put money on it. But listen, I respect Ruby Riott. I think she is a great hand. I think she is very talented in the ring. Her best days are in front of her. But right now, Ronda Rousey is a bulldozer that has no – she cannot lose to Ruby Riott at Elimination Chamber. They may make her look strong, and they should. But right now, it would make absolutely no sense. So to answer your question, Scott, there may not be a better bet right now than having Ronda Rousey beat Ruby Riott at the Elimination Chamber. So that's your answer.
And do you feel, Matt, that there will be no Charlotte interference from now until what is it, April 7th, right? April 7th, Sunday?
Yes.
Do you feel there will be no Ronda Charlotte Flair interference from now until then, where it could end up being a three-way or something to where it's not even Becky Lynch and Ronda Rousey in the main event?
Now, see, I'm going to be very honest about this, and it's a very diverse fan base, I think, that they're very divided on this, because people are telling me, or trying to make the argument to me, that by adding Charlotte Flair to this match, it's going to be a better wrestling match. It's going to be a better story. I would counter by saying, when is the last time we have been this highly anticipated of a one-on-one match? Not even just the women's, but in the men's division as well. When is the last time we have seen and wanted a match this caliber at this level and wanted it for so long? It was derailed at Survivor Series, and now we got it at WrestleMania. And adding Charlotte Flair, as great of a talent as she is, as you know, and I think she is much better and more natural as a heel. That's all great and well, and I love Charlotte as a competitor, and as I just mentioned, she's one of the best female heels in the business. But in my mind, it's Ronda and it's Becky, period. By adding Charlotte, I really believe that you're muddying the waters of this story. You can do the triple threat at a later time. Right now, it's Becky, it's Ronda. I think, and I mean no disrespect to Charlotte whatsoever, this is actually subtraction by addition by putting Charlotte in there.
Do you see how I just made you answer your own question? I saved myself from having to answer any of that.
I like that. That was sneaky. That was sneaky. I appreciate that.
You did a nice job, though, man. I like the insight. Very nicely done.
I just no, thank you. I really abbreviated my rant on this from last night. I recorded a show and I had this whole rant on this. And look, I think it's going to be an awesome match. I'm looking forward to it. I really hope it stays one on one. WrestleMania should always be one on one, not for every circumstance, but for title matches. I'm not a fan of triple threats. I think WWE at times overdoes the triple threat format, and it's Becky and it's Ronda, and I don't want distractions from Charlotte, as great as she is. So.
All right, let me ask you one more question here on the Scott Stanford Wrestling Podcast. Who do you like in the Elimination Chamber to come out with the very first WWE Women's Tag Team Championship?
This is something that I think is... And I hate going with favorites. Favorites are so easy to pick.
Let me give you who's in, and then you tell me who you like. All right.
Yep.
You got Nia and Tamina. You got the Riott Squad. Liv Morgan reminds me of a young Pamela Anderson. Her face, but we'll move along with that. Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville. You got your Iconics and Bayley and Sasha and Naomi and Carmella. Who do you think comes out with the very first women's tag team titles?
I'm going to go with the front runner here, but because it makes the most sense, and that would be Bayley and Sasha. I really think that, and that's not by a wide margin, but if I was to put money on it, I would say Bayley and Sasha. I think that both of these women have been on again, off again, frenemies. We love you, we hate you, I'm attacking you backstage, and then I love you. But I think right now, this is the make good on all of that. I think that this may be WWE's way of making good on all of the back and forth. And at times I feel like they may not even have known themselves where they were going with the booking based on the just on again, off again, week to week back and forth. So Bayley and Sasha to me should be the inaugural women's champion, tag team champions in WWE, simply based on name value. I'm making good on all of this back and forth nonsense at times. And I think that ultimately you want babyface champions to be the first to hold them. So that's my pick. I think a close second, if you're going to go with a heel team,
I could actually see the Iconics coming out of this. They are great talkers. They could brag forever that they were the first ever women's tag team champions. So if you're going to go with the babyface team, it's Sasha and Bayley. You're going to go with the heel team, I think it's going to be the Iconics. So that's my picks.
I could see the Iconics winning on Sunday and then losing it the next night or on Tuesday night on SmackDown Live. You know what I mean? Let them win it and then lose it again on Tuesday night or Monday night, whenever they should come and defend it.
Mm-hmm. And again, Nia and Tamina too. Nia is getting some serious heat right now. Not just in the arena and everything that she's done to Becky Lynch, and we all know the story with the broken nose, broken face, and all that. But the heat that people are giving her on social media is real, and it's brutal. But if I was in Nia's shoes, I would say this is awesome. I want that true heel heat, not that cool heel. I want to be hated, mm-hmm. which is a very rare thing in today's wrestling environment, in my estimation. So Nia is, and I think she should continue to be a heel. I could see those two coming out as well. I wouldn't say it's up in the air. I'm going to stay by my guns. I'm going to say it's Sasha and Bayley.
All right, we'll hold you to it. We'll see what happens. That's a week from Sunday. No, that's this week.
That's this Sunday.
All right. Yes, that's true. Sunday in Houston. It's going to be a good one. Elimination Chamber is always fun.
It is. I love it. And having them superstars come out in timed intervals, it's awesome to see. You just, they can pair potential WrestleMania opponents up. There's, some great dynamics that can happen in the match. Plus, the whole Daniel Bryan WWE title, which, by the way, I love the hemp belt. It's awesome. I'm telling you, if WWE ever makes that available on WWEshop.com, I will be the first one on there ordering it. It's just awesome. And I just, it's such a great touch that no one has ever done before. We've seen the smoking skull belt. We've seen the spinner belt. But this is something that is just awesome. And I love it.
Yeah, no, I sent a note to the writers. I said if he loses the belt, somehow it should get lit on fire and the whole place just gets high as a kite.
I didn't even think of that. That's very true. The hemp, yeah. Oh my god. Especially if they have the stand selling the belts as well.
Right. Oh yeah. Doritos will be flying off the shelf.
Oh my god. So that's a marketing scheme. Oh god. But listen, Scott, I really appreciate you coming on. Is there anything that you want to let my listeners know that you're doing? Anything that any projects you're working on, where they can find you on Twitter and that kind of stuff?
Well, listen, Twitter's at ScottStanford1, Instagram the same, and no new projects. You know, I have a couple of quick charity stand-up comedy things coming up in the city. I like to dabble in that a little bit. I had fun when Ziggler had his back at SummerSlam over the summer. We did some fun stuff. But no, nothing really. You know, Pix 11 and WWE this week in WWE, which is the one that runs on the network every week on Fridays and then for the rest of the weekend. And it's all good, but I appreciate you having me on. And it's amazing. We're 8,000 miles away, and it sounds like we're right in the same room.
It sounds like you're right next to me. I think that has a lot to do with your new voice equipment, which
my brand new Rode NT1.
It does sound great. So listen, Scott, thank you for joining me. You know, we'll have to do this again sometime down the road, and I'll check you out this week on the pre-show.
Anytime, buddy. Thank you, Matt. Right, appreciate
thank
it.
You.
Bye-bye.
What's health insurance built around me?
In my world, it means you make things easier.
MVP Healthcare provides health insurance built around your needs, your preferences, and your busy life. From individual and family plans to Medicare and group plans, even free and low-cost plans for those who qualify. MVP is working to make health insurance more convenient, more supportive, more personal.
That is health insurance built around me. What's health insurance built around me?
In my world, it means you make things easier.
MVP Healthcare provides health insurance built around your needs, your preferences, and your busy life. From individual and family plans to Medicare and group plans, even free and low-cost plans for those who qualify. MVP is working to make health insurance more convenient, more supportive, more personal.
That is health insurance built around me.